Blog Talk Radio.
DJ Eskimo City, the coolest DJ on the motherfucking planet.
Wicked tones, you know. What?
Metro Boomin want some more, nigga.
Wiggy, wiggy, oh, wiggy, oh, hold up, wiggy, oh, wiggy, oh, wiggy, oh, wiggy, oh, wiggy, wiggy, oh, wiggy, oh, wiggy, oh, hold up, wiggy, oh, wiggy, oh. Stand up in the motor, what's the dance for? Stand up in the motor, what's the dance for? Hold up, wiggy, wiggy, oh, wiggy, oh, wiggy, oh, wiggy, oh,
DJ Esco.
Candles burning, money burning, Dre, all these niggas. Found them barking, big dog barking. Blood tears on me. Y'all don't want that wave. I'm trippin' Cartier. Put a cold bird on you, that's my status. I put that lingo on her, she was Spanish. I feel the wine leader of the Spanish. It's continental and it's panoramic. It's complimentary to the fantasy. Fuck around with me, it'd be a tragedy. I want green, 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 no asparagus. I say, lay, 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 that ain't embarrassing. Wiggy, 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 wiggy. Hold up, wiggy, 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 wiggy. Way over
here.
Now she's going, no, that bitch going. I purchased Aviani, now she lit, huh? Where the band rings on me lit, huh? Bearing to the game on the shit, huh?
Yo, y'all, what's up, y'all? It's your homeboy, Tone Bishop, man, TTB, man. Live and direct, man, SGF Ball, man. Today is February 2nd, is Black History Month, you know what I'm saying? So we're going to be rocking out. But today, you know what I'm saying, we're going to be rocking with an up-and-coming boxer. Y'all see him everywhere, you know what I'm saying? My man be posting up some crazy posts. But you know what I'm saying? He be doing this thing, man, you know what I'm saying? Tate Williams. So just for the bring the homie in, you know what I'm saying, for the cook-up with him. What's good with you, dog?
Shit. It's been a pretty interesting start to the year already. I've been good so far though.
Right, sure. Right. That's what's up. Hey, I just want to say congratulations, man, on getting your first win, man. You know what I'm saying, with the KO. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Congrats,
right,
man. You know what I'm saying, doing your thing. So, man, tell us, man, for those that don't know you, you know what I'm saying, first time hearing you, man, like, where are you from, bro?
Well, I was born in Montgomery, Alabama, year 91. But I was raised in East Chicago, Indiana. Came to Las Vegas from Indiana, February of 2014. So, yeah, been a little bit of everywhere. So, yeah.
Cool, man. So what made you want to get into boxing, man?
Man, let me tell you. Okay, for those who don't know, my background, prior to October 2013, I really wasn't affiliated with any boxing at all, period.
Right.
I was in college around 2010, 2011, and that's when I really first started watching boxing. I was doing MMA in college, you know, on campus, you know, couldn't nobody make me tap, you know. But I got tired of, you know, motherfuckers trying to hug on me and we rolling around on the ground, so I just decided, you know, one day that I wanted to pick up the science of the hands. You know,
right.
And I really didn't get that chance to pursue that on my own until I got on my own. And it's also a mixture of having a past dealing with physical abuse. You know,
mm-hmm.
My grandfather, he would, you know, physically abuse me, punch me, slap me and shit growing up, sometimes for no reason. So all that anger and everything had built up, it had to be released in a healthy manner, you know.
Right.
I couldn't whoop my granddaddy ass, you know what I'm saying? Like, so October 2013, that's when I first stepped into the boxing gym in Indianapolis, Indiana, a gym called Top Level Gym, ran by Wes Ramey. Yep. That's how it all started, but I really couldn't do what I wanted to do until I came to Vegas.
Right.
So, yeah, had to make that move in those following months.
Oh, okay. So, you know what I'm saying, you going through, you know what I'm saying, what you've been through, you know what I'm saying, for you to, like, really channel it into, you know what I'm saying, a profession, which is something that a lot of boxers a lot of people haven't done, you know what I'm saying, for you to choose that avenue, which was pretty, you know what I'm saying, which was pretty like a good choice, you know what I'm saying, because some people are kind of like turning up after that. But then, like, when you go into the gym, like, what was you thinking your first day stepping on into a gym, and like, what was you thinking at that time?
I'm about to fuck it up. Shit, I'm about to do it what I can. You know what I'm saying? Shit. Like, I had set high expectations for myself anyway. You know,
right.
I didn't really have that much experience anyway growing up, because, you know, a lot of guys, they get baptized in the sport at an early age, you know, start off 5, 6, 7 years old doing the amateurs and everything, racking up championships. Shit, I ain't had it. I just had an anchor problem. You know what
right.
I'm saying? So, first couple of days in the gym, you know, I was just getting used to hitting the bag and everything. Tried to wean myself off of, you know, like what I had seen on TV and on YouTube and everything, watching other fighters and stuff like that. And even the
right.
coach in the gym was like, hey, what are you doing? You ain't no Floyd Mayweather. Like, he had an old Cus D'Amato type of way of training his fighters and everything. Like, he was, you know, so I had to adjust and learn the basics and everything, because I didn't have a trainer then. I still don't have a trainer. You know what I'm saying? It's basically I just been teaching myself everything up to this point.
Okay. Cool, man. So what was the first gym that you hit?
You said what?
What's the first gym that you had hit up when you came
first
out
First gym
here?
I ever went to? Oh. I got out to Vegas February 5th, 2014, and a week after that, I was at Floyd Mayweather's boxing club in Chinatown.
Right.
That's the only gym I had wanted to go to when I came to Vegas. Like, for me, it wasn't no other gym to go to. You know, like, that was the spot.
Right.
So I went there, you know, started working out, you know, everything like that, got in shape, but at the same time, I didn't set any realistic goals for myself, so I was just basically in there, you know what I'm saying? I didn't really have a long-term goal for being in there, you know? So from February to October, that's where I was at, and I had set a crazy goal for myself. I had wanted to turn pro in 2014, like the same year, like I had got out to Vegas and everything, and I was supposed to fight September in North Dakota. But the guy ended up pulling out. He had an injury while he was training. So I'm like, okay. And at the same time, my original sponsor had been let go from his company. You know, so life happened. I had to get a job anyway. So I was at the gym for some months, from October to about April, I think.
Mm.
Then that's when I started going to Roy Jones' gym.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Cool, man. So, like, for you, you know what I'm saying, for you going to Floyd's and the dollhouse and all that, compared to, like, Roy's gym, shout out to Roy and everybody, Angel and all them casters out there. What's the difference between the two in your
Man, I'm going to give you the real. Like, you go to Floyd's gym, you know, that's, like, when I really stepped out and stepped out of that that phase of being starstruck and everything, like, oh, yeah, I'm training at Floyd's gym. You know,
right.
And when I started going to Roy's gym, it was a complete, I'm not going to say, it was a wake-up call a little bit, because at Floyd's gym, it's so much hype, you know,
right.
And it's a lot of male groupies in the sport of boxing that like to post up at Floyd's gym. Everybody want to just be seen there, you know what I'm saying? Don't nobody really, a lot of guys don't really have that effort to go further. Like, they just think that they training at the gym and they gonna automatically get put on that they already made.
Right.
You know what
exactly.
I'm saying? But I mean, at Roy's gym it's quiet, cool,
right.
calm, collected, no drama. Like, it's real clean cut how they do it over at Roy's, and that's what I really needed. I needed that peace. You know
right.
what I'm saying? And that's what I fell in love with. I fell in love with Roy's gym because of that.
Yeah. It's very
no drama,
professional,
no egos, no groupies. Exactly.
Yeah, it's real professional up in there, man. And because I know I went up there a couple times, and actually I went up there on the grand opening, which was cool, and everybody came through. So, like, you being, you know, so working over there in a good, clean, positive environment, and working with guys that's really hands on with the person, like, what were some tips and things that you had learned, you know what I'm saying, from the trainers and probably Roy himself, you know what I'm saying, what were some things that you had learned?
Right. I remember I had worked with Angel because he's like Roy's primary trainer who only works with fighters that are signed to Roy, you know, but Angel, he took some time out and he worked with me one-on-one. Working on defense, and I really appreciated that because he really didn't have to do that shit, you know what I'm saying? So he got in there and did, like, the slap mitts or whatever there with me, like, working on my head movement and everything. You know, we just worked on defense. He reminded me, like, dude, you got to keep your head moving, you know what I'm saying, like, stuff like that. And the day that Roy hopped in the ring with me, that threw me off guard. Big time, because I had just came in the gym. I saw he was over there working out with a couple of his other fighters. And so I wasn't going to even, you know, I wasn't going to say nothing to him and disturb his zone. You know what I'm saying? So I just got in the ring, started shadow boxing, you know, doing my thing. And then he climbs in the ring. So I'm starting to get out. Like, you know, I'm just about to let greatness work. Shit, I don't want to be in his way. And then he's like, nah, let me see what you got. I was like, oh, shit. Then so we moved around a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And he started teaching me about keeping my distance, you know what I'm saying, setting up, you know, setting the range and everything, basically controlling the distance, you know, and throwing accurate punches and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a great experience, you know, and I took that wisdom down there to Mexico with me in December. So anything that anybody has learned, I'll maintain one philosophy, and that philosophy came from Bruce Lee. It was absorb what is useful and discard what is useless. I've been around so many trainers and coaches and everything since I got to Vegas who are around boxing. But it's like if you're not fighting how the trainer wants you to fight, or if that trainer is not molding you how they fought, if they fought, then, you know what I'm saying, it's no reputable relationship that can be built. So that's another reason why I don't have a trainer still, because, like, I'm outside the box. I don't like being confined to one style or one game plan, because in the middle of a fight, in a 12-round championship fight, you're going to have to be able to think on your feet. And if you get stuck with one game plan, you're going to get beat the fuck up, you know what I'm saying, like, if you're not a smart fighter. So I trust my instincts more than I trust a trainer who's probably never fought before or has fought and got knocked out his whole career, you know what I'm saying? So, I trust myself.
Man, that's cool, man, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it has to be like a half and half thing, especially in this business, which is real brutal, and a lot of people really don't understand the game, but it's real serious, and remember, it's your life in that box, you know what I'm saying? So, that's where it's at, but you going to Mexico, going down there, first professional fight, man. Like, how was that, man? For you, like, to jump in there, like, yeah, it's on. You know what I'm saying? Like, how was that?
Yeah, it was one of the things where, because I had got stuck at Floyd's gym so long, you know, wasn't really doing nothing. I had been told, like, I should take amateurs and stuff like that. It's like, I really didn't want to. I didn't feel like I needed to, you know. Coach Otis Pimpleton, you know, he was a great mentor. He's like, yeah, you need to go ahead and take some amateurs, motherfucker. You don't want to box. You know, Coach, that's my dude, though. And he one of the first ones I called when I got back from Mexico. But like I was saying, people started to think I was a joke, you know what I'm saying, because I would just be taking pictures at Floyd Gym, basically in that mindset I was telling you about. Like, I had damn near become a groupie myself, you know what I'm saying? So I decided to say, fuck it, and just go ahead and do it. Stop talking and go do it. You know, so I had set it up because at first I had tried to work with a manager out of Las Vegas and he was going to set the fight up for me. And all I needed to do was work on, like, the funds, the A-side funds, you know what I'm saying, because I didn't have a contracted manager, none of that stuff. So basically I would have to pay my way to get down there, pay the slot fee and all that stuff. So I set that up with the promoter after the manager had canceled it. I hit the promoter up directly. It was like, hey, what can I do to get on the show? You know what I'm saying? Clean, cut, and dry. Let me know what I got to do, and we're going to do it. He was like, okay. So we handled that. I went down there, got down there Wednesday, December 9th, and It was dope. It's a small town called Puerto Penasco. They call it Rocky Point in Sonora. And I met with the promoter on Thursday, and he told me that they had switched out my original opponent, you know what I'm saying? Because I was originally slated to fight a guy named Cristobal Pineda, and I had even gave him an extension on the weight limit because he said he might come in heavy or whatever. I'm like, okay, that's fine. But they ended up switching the opponent altogether and gave me somebody at my weight. So I was like, okay, fuck it, it worked. And told me that his record was 0-2. Mind you, they told me 0-2. So I'm like, okay, fuck it, you know, because that's how most guys start up their professional careers anyway. I wasn't tripping. And especially with me having no amateur experience, self-taught, you know, that seemed like it would be a good test anyway. So I met him on Thursday. Friday, we had the weigh-in and everything, the little conference. And that's when I met him for the first time. You know, I had little Mexican chicks down there asking me for my autograph and shit already. I'm like, damn, I ain't on yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, can I fight first? You know?
Right.
But Saturday, the fight went down, you know, it's a gymnasium called the Leandro Ballet Municipal Gym. And like, all the while going to the fight, leading up to the fight, I was just in my zone, dude. Because, like, I had you got to be able to go to a place mentally where nobody can't fuck with you. You know what I'm saying? As a fighter, you know what I'm saying? Like, all distractions was off. I was off my phone. Like, everybody that know me know I stay on my phone 24/7. I was off my phone. I had plugged in my headphones. I had the Beats on. And I had one song on repeat. I didn't want nobody talking to me. We was all cramped up in one dressing room. You know what I'm saying? There wasn't no individual dressing rooms or shit. So it was like 12 people in one room trying to get ready for their fight. And went out there. I ain't had no trainer once again. My cousin came down from Texas, Corey, and my other homie was down there from Indiana, Kyle. So we was just chilling. And you know how the trainer goes with the fighter to the middle of the ring, like before the bell instructions.
Right.
I went to the center of the ring by myself, and the promoter said that that's how he knew that neither one of them was a trainer, because nobody went with me to the middle of the ring. But we fought, you know, the first round, you know, I was shaking out the nerves and everything, you know what I'm saying, getting used to everything, because that was my first live ring experience, you know. But it's like, as soon as that first jab connected, I already knew. I'm like, I'm about to beat this dude ass straight up. But at the end of the first round, the promoter, he was like, I like what you're doing, you know what I'm saying, doing everything pretty good, but just throw more punches. So I'm like, okay. Since I couldn't really get no solid training advice from my cousin, his only advice was pop him, hit him right there, hit him. I'm like, okay. But second round came, you know, I put together a little combo and ended up stopping him. So that was that. But the Monday I got back to Nevada, because I had listened to the little press conference and everything, and they said that the guy was from a town called Agua Prieta in Sonora. So I'm like, what? Yeah. Come to find out this motherfucker was using a different name, a different alias on BoxRec. And real record, he had 6 wins, 6 losses. He had 5 knockouts, and he was using a different name. And I asked the promoter, was like, so you knew this the whole time, like before we fought and everything? He was like, yeah, I knew. But it wasn't his fault, because they lied to him too on the guy on the other side. So he was like, damn, like, he was in a predicament. Like, he didn't want to fuck up and, like, have me get pissed off and go home. I'm there already. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just wanted to see what I was going to do. So, So it was one of them type of deals. Like, I was being set up and I didn't even know it. You know what I'm saying? But I went in there and dominated. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
These guys out here with extensive amateur careers that catch draws or lose their debut. You know what I'm saying? Match solved. They threw me in there with a motherfucker with 12 fights.
You know what I'm saying?
So,
on top, man. Dang.
So
That's wild, man.
I know I'm about to do some crazy shit in this sport. That's right. All I know.
Man, for real. Hey, bro, I want to go to the calls, man. I'm going to go to the callers. 206. What's up, 206?
Yo, Tom, this is Nick with No Sparring. How's everything?
Oh, we cool, man. How you doing, bro?
I can't complain. We actually got some nice weather in Seattle. There's no rain. It's a good day. But, you know, that's a great story. You know, you're explaining, you know, about your very first fight. I've never heard a story that crazy. You know, the guy comes in with a different name, and, you know, you have no trainer with you. That's honestly, that's insane. I wasn't sure what to expect when I was listening today, and that's a great story. So, I mean, I hope, you know, your future fights, you know, end with, you know, positive results, but hopefully it's not quite as crazy. I mean, that's like a movie plot right there or something. It's really bizarre. But it's really bizarre. But I got to ask both of you, I mean, both of you being, you know, boxing fans first and foremost, what is your guys' take today on the big announcement of Khan and Canelo fighting? I really want to hear what you guys think of this.
Tone, you want to go first? Because I got some shit.
No, I let you go, bro. I let you go, man. Go ahead. I'm going to tell you, go, okay, man. Tell you got some interesting stuff to say, man. Go ahead, bro.
Okay. Now, I woke up today, and I looked at Khan's Twitter, and it said that he was proud. He broke the news before anybody else could. You know, he got a big-ass mouth. But
yeah.
I'm looking like, okay, it's not April 1st, so he can't be fooling me. Like, and then I saw the Golden Boy video, like, promoting the fight, and then Canelo started posting about it afterwards. Now, this is the second time that Canelo's taking advantage of a seemingly desperate fighter, you know what I'm saying, just to pad his own record, because we remember what he did to James Kirkland, who was coming off a 16-month layoff, you know,
right.
They tried to build that up as he was a threat to Canelo. Come on, man, he slept him in the third round. Then you got Amir Khan, who started his career at 135, only had four fights at 147, and you expecting him to jump up to this man's self-made Canelo weight class, because I ain't never heard of nobody fighting for no title at 155. You know?
Exactly.
And he's going up there to fight Canelo, and Canelo going to come in at least 20 pounds over that fight night. I don't see it working out in Khan's favor unless he stays outside and boxes Canelo all night, if he still has that speed after being inactive since he fought Algeri. I don't see it working out in his favor, and I do not respect Canelo or Oscar De La Hoya for making it happen.
Nah, I was tripping myself. I was like, what? Because my phone was going off, you know what I'm saying? I get the alerts, and I was like, nah, this can't be happening. Because I thought Canelo was going to get Willie Monroe or something like that. But when I seen Khan's name on there, I was like, man, this is not going to be good. And I really feel bad for Khan because he couldn't get the Florida Pacquiao fight, so I guess he's just going for the third best, I guess. That's how I lately look at it, seriously. But I don't think – it's not a good move to me.
Yeah, I have to agree. Everyone wants to talk about Khan's speed, but the speed was definitely not on display against Chris Algieri last year, and there wasn't anything that was impressive there. So I have to ask, I mean, it's exciting to hear two big names in boxing, you know, fighting each other, you know, Amir Khan and Canelo, you know, some big boxing fan bases of you know, England and Great Britain and Mexico there. But you have some writers, specifically Dan Rafael. He was, I don't know if you guys saw this, but he's very excited about this fight. And you saw there was other writers, including, what's his name, Kevin Ioli from, like, Yahoo.
Yeah.
And I believe there was another writer on there, and they were like, they didn't understand what Dan's excitement was, and Dan was basically going off and saying, well, you know, Oscar De La Hoya jumped up the middleweight to fight Hopkins, and I think he was saying, who was it, Sugar Ray Leonard moved up, I think, a couple weight classes. And so he's trying to compare Khan to De La Hoya, A, and B, I think Sugar Ray Leonard, B, and Khan's not even in the, shouldn't be mentioned in the same sentence as those guys, let alone, you know, look at his record, you look at what he's done or what he hasn't done, more specifically. And I don't understand writers, some people's excitement about this fight, other than that they're two big names. So what do you guys think about everyone who is excited about this fight? Because you guys hit the nail on the head for me. You guys made perfect sense.
I gotta just chalk that up to being casual fans who don't really understand the politics behind the sport and why this was made, because evidently it's a business move. You know what I'm saying? Like, Khan had to take a fight anyway because he was going on another inactive streak. But once again, like, he going to get his fucking block knocked off. Like, Canelo is not going to play this for it. Like, I don't understand. Come on, man. We saw what Prescott did to Khan, you know, in a lower weight class. We saw what Danny Garcia did to Khan
man.
In four rounds.
Mark Peterson,
you know, Canelo is not about to play with this man.
Dude.
And Khan is clamoring. I think one of the reasons that Khan took this fight possibly is to show that if he does beat Canelo by some weird, strange stroke of luck, that he could draw Floyd Mayweather out of retirement. But I don't see that happening either, because y'all remember Floyd got into it with Khan at the Garcia-Guerrero fight.
Yeah.
I just don't see Khan winning, though.
I got to interrupt for a second because everyone has been forgetting today. I got to go back to Dan. I'm sorry, but he was talking about the contract. Said, you know, there was maybe a rematch clause in there. But what about Triple G? He's supposed to be the mandated guy for the WBC title after this. Khan better take a dive in this fight, because you do not want to face Triple G after Canelo. Well, assuming he somehow takes by and steals a Canelo.
Hey,
you know,
look, dude.
Triple G is lurking on the horizon, and he smells blood. I'm sorry. That guy is scary.
Yeah, he is.
He is, man.
God knows.
Shit.
It's like watching a funeral, man. It's like watching a boxing funeral, man. I don't want to see this, man, but I want to go just to see what will happen. But I just want to know how the odds going to look.
Hey, I'm going to tell y'all, like, I'm not a fan of the fight, you know what I'm saying, and shit like that. But I will watch this fight just because I want to see Canelo punish Khan. Because Khan blocked me on Twitter, you know what I'm saying?
Man.
So go ahead.
What did you say to him on Twitter? I got to know. What did you say to him on Twitter that got a block out of Khan? Because I thought I talked trash to Khan, but apparently not.
Khan, he's a sensitive guy, like, for some reason. I don't know. Like, that's another thing about psychology in boxers. Boxers need to, like, stay in their zone mentally. If somebody brings them out of their zone and they have a weak mind, you know what I'm saying, they're going to flood with doubt, and that's going to affect their next performance. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So Khan, first of all, needs to stay the fuck off social media anyway.
Yeah.
Secondly, I had posted up a picture of when he was falling after Danny Garcia knocked him out. Knocked him down, like, I think the second time. And I was like, Amir King Khan, you were like, you praise dancing. What are you doing? And he favorited the tweet, and then he blocked me. So.
Hey, dude. That's crazy, man. That's what he did.
But back to Triple G. I wanted to talk about that. Okay.
Go ahead, bro.
Canelo is possibly ducking Triple G. Is Triple G possibly ducking also? Somebody is avoiding somebody, and they letting it happen. That's what I don't understand about today's boxing and these organizations is in each other's pockets, because the fans is not seeing the best fights. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's all money, centered around money. The only reason why they letting Canelo fight at 155 and keeping the 160 title is because the WBC and Oscar De La Hoya is in cahoots. You know, if there's anybody else, they would have took the title if he wasn't fighting his mandatory or at the designated weight for the title. Come on, man. This is ridiculous. But
we
brought this up last night, too, because the WBA is mandating that their regular interim champions face their super champions. But the one guy who has been mandated to face Triple G is Daniel Jacobs. He has the WBA regular title, but for some reason, you know, he's with Heyman, so all of a sudden he doesn't have to face Triple G for some reason, and the WBA doesn't seem to really care yet. So, you know, you're again right. I mean, I'm so glad I talked to you guys today. I thought I was in a twilight zone today because everyone was so excited about this fight, and I don't understand what everyone's talking about. Like, no one was making any sense today. Khan facing Canelo. There's a new belt at 155 pounds, apparently. I mean, I feel like, you know, I'm just in crazy town. So I'm glad you guys seem to have sense.
I'm gonna call it how I see it, because Khan said fighting for his 155 pound title. I'm like, what is that?
What did I miss? Well, exactly. What is that?
I guess that means when we all got a chance to fight for that title, man. I guess so. Everybody had a chance to fight for that 155, I guess. So that's just how I look at it, man. But that's crazy, man. Hey, Tay, you got any another fight coming up, bro?
Well, shoot. December 30th, I was working on my next fight. I wanted to fight in January in my near my home, adopted hometown up in Hammy, Indiana. But I ended up breaking my hand, my second and third metacarpals in my right hand. Broke them. Like, I thought it was a fracture. Them shits was broke. Like, I seen the x-rays. I was like, damn. But I'm in the process of healing right now. But mid-March, I'll be back in the gym. I'm going to fight again in May. About May 28th, that's the date that we're working on back in the adopted hometown around Hammond, Indiana, Indianapolis, Indiana, that area. So I'll be A1 by then.
Okay, cool, man. Most definitely be looking out, man. Hey, and if folks want to follow you, man, you know what I'm saying, follow what you're going through, you know what I'm saying, this and that, boxing, watch, social media, where can they check you out at, bro?
Oh, shit, I got the Facebook, Alante, A-L-L-A-N-T-E, Trilluminati, T-R-I-L-L-U-M-I-N-A-T-I, I'm Spelly B Champ, Williams on Facebook. Twitter, Tay Weather, TMT, although I'm not signed to the money team. I was getting a whole lot of that shit, too, when I first, you know, got out to Vegas. Oh, he on the money team? No, I'm not, you know. Maybe one day, but not today.
Right.
Instagram, TayWilliams.KO. Yep.
Cool, man. Hey, make sure y'all hit him up. And follow him, my man. He's up and coming, so make sure y'all check him out. And hey, Nick, you going to the New York, man, for the Crawford-Lundy fight?
Man, I'd like to, but I don't think so. I'm not going to go for Lundy. You know, if it was Postal, I could see myself going. But I right now, I'm sorry, Mr. Lundy. You know, you're probably going to go down in under six. So I'll watch it on TV with some friends, and we're gonna have fun watching another.
Y'all got on me last night by going for Lundy, man. But I'm just gonna go with that, man. But hopefully I'll be out there. You know what I'm saying?